Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Argentina's president tells the BBC that it's not the ordinary folks who are paying for austerity measures. Good morning, I'm Leanna Byrne, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks for tuning in. In the 5 months since Argentina's president was sworn in, he's slashed public sector jobs, slashed energy and transport subsidies, and slashed the value of the country's currency. And since Javier Milei campaigned to be president wielding a chainsaw, I guess he's living up to his promises. The BBC's Ione Wells is in Buenos Aires, speaking to people there like 72-year-old Julia, who sings in the street to get by.
It is us who is suffering, not the political class, as the president says. He says the political class is going to pay. It's a lie. We are suffering. The common people. The people who work every day. Who buy their food.
And Ione put Julia's comments to Javier Milei himself in an exclusive interview.
Bueno, la verdad es que eso es falso.
Well, actually, that is false. The largest adjustment is being paid by the political corporation. The impact on pensions is only 0.4% of GDP.
But I want to know specifically, what would you say to people right now? Would you say sorry? Would you say thank you to the people who are having to pay a lot more than they were previously as a result of the adjustment that's happening?
The mass media will deliberately lie, and people will believe those lies they get through the media. You can't make a macroeconomic evaluation based on the situation of an individual. There you are taking one of the parts rather than the whole. Actually, a particular situation may be influenced by the sort of information that the individual also has access to.
But I think, excuse me, President, and with respect, the information people have access to is the prices they're seeing in supermarkets. I mean, for example, do you know how much a liter of milk costs now in Buenos Aires?
Do you know how many goods assets exist within an economy? So you don't do economics based on the price of an individual asset.
But President, I'm sorry, I want to make sure we're speaking in terms that normal people will understand, because our audience, people on the streets here, are not economists. How does somebody who has seen the price of milk double since you came to office, what would you say to them specifically, the people who are struggling and say that they feel like they are paying for the adjustment, even if you believe it is the right one? What would be your message to them right now? How long should they wait specifically, for example, for things to feel better?
In the last month, salaries started to beat inflation. They went up by 14%. Inflation was 11%.
Would the message be, in simple terms, wait a bit longer? And how long, could you just give me a time frame of how long you'd like people to wait who are struggling right now?
The first thing is that in economics, miracles don't exist. What would have been the alternative? To continue to print money like the previous administration that generates inflation and ends up affecting the most vulnerable? That was not the way to go.
That was Javier Milei speaking to Ione Wells. Now, let's do the numbers. Two oil giants, BP and Saudi Aramco, missed forecasts. Even though the price of oil is high, Aramco's first quarter earnings actually dropped 14% from last year. BP reported underlying profits of $2.7 billion in the first quarter, below market expectations. The humble croissant, it's the epitome of French cuisine. But in Paris, one baker is shaking things up in an attempt to reshape French food and agriculture. The BBC's Andrew Harding got a taste.
We have the chocolate flan. Here, this is a small cake with hazelnuts.
They look like the real thing.
Tarte au chocolat.
The classics of French pâtisserie. But something strange is happening in this Parisian bakery.
C'est bon?
Bah ouais, c'est bon.
A crisp and seductive act of sacrilege. In a country attached to, some might say obsessed with, its culinary traditions, what should one make of a croissant made entirely without butter? Like everything else on sale here.
Okay, well, I'm going to try.
Yes, please.
I confess I've tried one. They're not half bad.
In all of this, not a drop of milk and not a hint of butter.
Yes, nothing.
The man in charge of this boulangerie, and of five others and counting, is Rodolphe Landemann.
So I notice there's no sign here. So
yes, yes, yes. We don't write the word vegan on the face of the shop.
Landemann's surreptitious vegan rebellion is just one small part of a much bigger struggle to shake up French food culture and, so the theory goes, to help address climate change.
But it must be a steep mountain to climb in a country like...
A lot.
Very difficult.
Yes, well, very difficult. But it is changing not so quickly. Not so bad.
It's changing.
Yeah, it is changing.
2 hours away, in a huge barn, not too far from the old battlefields of the Somme, 100 pampered Holstein cows are lazily taking their turns at an automatic milking machine.
Et à chaque crayon qui finit, en fait, on peut traire crayon par crayon.
As you might expect, the owner, Sophie Lennertz, has no time for butterless croissant. But she, too, is interested in change. In fact, she spent much of this year, like so many French farmers, out protesting against an agricultural system which she believes is fundamentally broken.
Lovely.
Buttering toast in her cosy kitchen, Lennertz rails against a globalised industry of cheap imports, greedy middlemen and endless red tape.
J'ai des enfants, j'ai des petits-enfants.
I have grandchildren, she says, so I want what's best for the planet. But you can't just blame everything on farmers. In her view, people need to eat local produce to cut out the big multinational firms taking all the profits. And she's sure that French consumers are on her side. But even small revolutions can take time.
N'hésitez pas à l'examiner. L'odeur et le goût.
A few blocks away, a croissant tasting competition is getting started. The rules spelled out to a room full of eager amateur judges.
Et on n'influence pas la table.
And every single pastry here, still rich with dairy butter.
And then you can feel all that buttery flavour going into it, and that's what makes it wonderful.
Change may be coming to French dinner tables, but some things here are still almost sacred. In Paris, I'm the BBC's Andrew Harding for Marketplace.
And I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Have a great day and thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.